Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
People to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Again, welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dare to Win is a place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of our people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us and contribute to our wholeness. To join the conversation, by telephone, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or ask a question. And if you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And click the Ulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live. My name is Brother Thurman, and I am your host for this evening's discussion. And joining us this evening is Sister Nanana, an Ulu board member who will be guiding us through our discussion tonight. Sister Nanana, please greet our audience.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Thurman. It's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to share some words of hopefully inspiration and help provide guidance through subject matter that is very vital to our moving forward and to making the change that we need to make. So I welcome everyone in the listening audience, and I encourage all of our listeners to please let it be known if you have a comment or a question. And I appreciate the opportunity to have this dialogue. Thank you, Brother Thurman.
And thank you. All right, Sister Nanana, to get us started, our topic this evening is what do we need to change and how do we make change happen? Sister, how would you answer this question?
Well, first of all, I would say that this is the question of change is one that we are hearing throughout our communities. At this particular point in time, I judge that in many arenas, in communities of people of Black African descent, we have grown and progressed to the point where we're starting to say, okay, what really needs to happen? What action, positive and definitive and definite actions, do we really need to take to make change happen? So, yeah, thank you, Brother Thurman, for opening the discussion this evening by giving me the opportunity to provide some context via my point of view around this whole subject of what is it that we need to change and how do we go about making change happen. I'm going to start out by stating what I think is happening in terms of the direction or the focus that we might be pursuing as a nation of people seeking to improve our social, political, and economic conditions. The first thing I'd like to point to is mainstream media. What I identify as old habits and just plain old misinformation from a variety of sources, including the pulpit in many of our community churches, would have us to believe that we should focus our energy and our resources on somehow impacting who will be in the White House. I mean, seriously, if you're paying attention to whatever is on television, what you might be exposed to through the many avenues that we have, that's all of the conversation right now that we are being bombarded with. Who's going to be in the White House? And once again, we're given the instruction and the information that this is something that we should put our time and energy into. Others, however, would say that we should focus on ensuring that our young people are prepared for the job market via obtaining degrees of higher education, that this should really be our focus. And still others will say that our focus should be on eliminating police brutality and what is referred to as the school-to-jail track in the public education system. And we know that that school-to-jail track seriously devours so many of our children. Now, while each of these areas has impact on our community, I am suggesting that we change how we perceive or how we view our issues. The items I just mentioned, I judge, are not separate, fragmented social and political issues. These are all issues of powerlessness. They all grow out of and connected to our powerlessness. Power relates directly to economics and the ability to take care of oneself with virtually no dependence on others. We need to approach all of these issues that I just stated with one single solution, and that is to gain economic power. I think we see, we all know that in many instances, the police conduct themselves differently in upper income neighborhoods because money and financial stability denote power. And they conduct themselves in a different way in our communities and communities of lower income people because the power structure is not there. Also, when have our efforts to put someone in the White House ever made a significant positive difference in our lives? I mean, seriously, all of this energy that's being focused, let's really think about that. When has there ever, after a election of a U.S. president, when can we as a community sit down and say, okay, these are the things that have happened as a result of this person being in the White House that benefit us? Yet we continue to focus time and resources on presidential candidates without realizing that until we have one unified agenda and finances to attract support for that black agenda, that no politician is going to cater to our needs. You know, that's my opinion as to the reality. It just isn't going to happen until we have the finances in place and until we can definitely say this is one agenda that everyone in our community agrees to or can support. Not only that, but we get involved in the campaign hype because the media has influenced us to do so, not because we have ever seen positive results for our political involvement. So here again, I am saying that we need to start seriously looking at our behavior and saying that behavior has to change. Now, another item for change, I think we need to stop aspiring to duplicate or to emulate European models of success. Their models of success, family life, and educational achievement in particular, those three. We need to release ourselves from trying to be like our oppressors and fully embrace our culture and our cultural norms. For example, the norm for us is the extended family, not the nuclear family. I mean, our families and our households over the years have always been households where it was multi-generational, at least two, sometimes three generations and age groups in one home. The extended family provides more financial stability. It encourages longevity in the marriages. And it contributes to success with child rearing because everyone is there to help take care of the children and to make sure that they're safe. As far as education is concerned, we should actually identify and change our definition of what we consider a good education to be. Okay. A good education for us should be one that is, first of all, that education has been imparted to us by people from our culture and our community who value us not only as students, but who see those students as future leaders. That in and of itself creates a good education. Additionally, a useful education is one that not only prepares us to be able to get a good high income paying job and one that we are qualified for, but one that helps us to expand our thinking capacity, to learn how to do problem solving, to the extent that we can create our own job, that we can perform problem-solving analysis and deal realistically with common life challenges, such as how to get along with your neighbor, how to develop a family budget, how to be clear when identifying white supremacy when we see it, instead of covering it up so that those perpetuating the supremacist activity remain comfortable and positioned to repeat the behavior. So those are some of the things, Brother Thurman, that I see, that if I were to be able to dictate the changes to be made in our communities in terms of how we view things and how we think, these are the areas that I would look at. And I'm going to stop right there for a minute to see if you have a question or a comment, or if anyone from the audience does.
Family members, sure you are taking notes, and if you got comments or questions, you can call us at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you've got a question or comment. And Sister Nanana, I certainly appreciate what you've been talking about. We've got to definitely change our way, and we've got a lot of loyalty to the European models of so many things. And so when it comes to that and the education, there's a whole lot if we had more than an hour that we could get into, but we certainly have been based on this European model of education and thinking. We've been miseducated, and that's a major problem for us.
For sure, for sure. And we have to take back the education process of our young people and be very clear that as long as we allow our children to be educated in the public school system, that they are not going to be educated in such a way that positions them so that they can do true critical thinking, and so that they can see beyond being an employee and beyond simply just punching a clock and feeding into the capitalistic system. So that's a big major piece that has to change.
Yes, I agree. And I just like to mention that we're dealing with a season that's always a problem when it comes to our people, because we've got that loyalty and that programming and what. This is a season where many years ago, you know, Africans, sent the word out that for the month of October, November, December, until after January the 1st, that we would only purchase things that we absolutely needed, like food and things like that, gasoline for our cars. But with that success of this miseducation and that loyalty to the European way, many of our people already got pumpkins on their porches. And so we've got to, and I believe Sister Deborah, you know, had made a comment a few days ago about tonight's topic. And I had the point, and I just lost it again. But she was making a point that there's things that we've just got to give up. And I think what it was that she had mentioned we needed to go back, or either another sister had mentioned that we needed to go back as part of correcting our miseducation, especially in the public schools, to have some Saturday schools of our own. And then we could just be more effective in spreading the word about the things that they're not teaching us in school, including about the pumpkin, you know, that people are getting out right now, not knowing that the origins of coughing the face in the pumpkin that's written by the European about themselves it's a reminder of when they used to cut each other's heads off and pull the insides out and stick a candle inside. So I'm done with that.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. That's good information to have, and you are absolutely correct. We are going into what has been called the holiday season, and so we've got about 2.5 months of opportunity. Let's say it that way. We've got 2.5 months of opportunity to start truly changing our behavior and illustrating that we are not a part of that oppressive European culture, and that we no longer buy into and support the perspectives and the ideals that they simply put in front of us, and that just because something appears on the TV set or we see it on Facebook or some other media, that this is not something that we necessarily have to follow. And to give that some real thought, and, you know, we have to dare to step away from that. When we dare to win, what that means is we dare to embrace who we really are, that we dare to put that change right out there vividly and honestly for all to see, and that we embrace that and that we're proud of it. And when we start doing things like that, then we win. You
yes.
know, that's one of the major steps in winning, for sure.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, you know, I want to move on to talk about a few other things, you know, after having identified some of the areas that I think we need to change behavior in, and, you know, before really getting fully into talking about solutions, we may want to take a break. This might be a good time to do that, and then come back with that other portion.
Okay. Family members, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. Continue the conversation, and tonight's topic is what to change and how to make change happen. And before we stop break, Sister Nanana, we're having an interesting discussion and identifying things that we need to change in the Black community. So now, can you give us your thoughts on how to make the change yours? And just before we do that, I realize we have a caller. Let's give the caller opportunity to express themselves. And the caller with the last four numbers of 7198, 7198, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Good evening, Sister Nanana and Brother Thurman. This is Chago Wilson calling from Detroit, Michigan. I'm not sure if you all have been made aware, but the broadcast is not coming through on the internet. We are hearing what the European community might identify as classical music.
Oh, thank you for letting us know that. So there's something going on with Blog Talk that is preventing the broadcast from coming through on the internet, is what I hear you saying. Thank you so much, brother, for letting us know. No, we were not aware.
Okay, I thought so. I've been listening on my phone. That's how I've been listening to the broadcast so far. So,
wow.
Just wanted to make you aware of that.
All right. Well, and thank you. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, the last couple of weeks there has been some problems with Blog Talk, and yeah, we'll have to check into that. I don't know that there's anything that we can do at this point to change or correct that.
Okay. I will keep listening. Thank you for the information, as usual.
Thank you. Okay. That's so interesting. So, you know, apologies to all of the listening audience. I'm sorry, Brother Thurman, you had a comment about that?
Yeah, I think they're under some kind of maintenance, you know, which we've had problems in the last few weeks with Blog Talk. And also, there are people that are suggesting that with this rise in 5G, that it's going to dramatically affect a lot of sources of broadcasting unless you are connected with the 5G. And 5G is a topic that we really need to address with our community, because large numbers of our people don't have a clue about how detrimental it is to the entire planet and all living beings and their cells and everything else, the cells in their body.
Exactly. Well, and that would be a good subject for discussion, because we need to be aware of how to protect ourselves in many means, in many areas and arenas. So, but yes, let's go ahead and continue our discussion. I don't know that there's anything that we can do differently to change what's happening on the internet. You know, it appears that you have to be connected by your phone in order to be able to hear the program. And I think we have a second person who's looking to make a comment, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, caller, welcome. Caller with the last four numbers, 3440-3440. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings, family. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I really appreciate the show, and I just wanted to add a couple points to what you and Sister Nanana were saying about the necessity to change and identifying it. You brought up, you made a comment earlier about the need for maybe weekend schools, because in this current environment, most of our people are going to be sending, because of resources, are going to be sending, you know, our youth to public schools. And obviously they're going to be miseducated and prepared for the prison industrial complex. But at least weekend academies and stuff like that under our control, we can attempt to try to mitigate some of the damages that might have happened during the week, all right, to our youth. But that becomes from a mindful understanding of that our youth are being damaged when they go to these public school settings. The other thing is the thing you brought up about the 5G network or 4G or what have you. From my perspective, we're already in a serious situation, which is why we really need at some point to maybe discuss again. And we have in the past discussed the topic of health, but the imposition of EMF on our health, the electromagnetic forces and fields that we are constantly bombarded with that affects us internally. And there are some things that you can do to mitigate the damages that are done by that. And so I would welcome, you know, any comments that you might have on that, or look forward to when we might have a program that can enlighten and help the listening audience as the man in his search to become more and more profitable. You know, begin to also eliminate the existence of some of the population on the earth. Thank you for letting me get my 2 cents in, and I really look forward to Sister Nanana and your discussion on solutions.
Thank you so much, Brother Shabaka. Yeah, you hit on several very important subjects, and what I would like to suggest is that on one of our Dare to Win programs coming up in the future, that we do address that whole issue, not only around 5G, but as you said, all of these other what we think are conveniences that we have in our home, whether it's a microwave oven or a desktop computer or, you know, some of the lights that we have in our home, we are being bombarded continuously. And I understand that there are small discs that can be attached to the phone, to your desktop, to the various lights that you have in your home that will disperse those negative energies. But at this point, I couldn't really speak intelligently on that because I haven't researched it. So I would just say that, you know, let's have that as a subject for one of our Dare to Win shows coming up in the future for sure. And, yeah, I would like to move forward and to start talking about what are some of the solutions? You know, what does change look like for us? If we are to change our current unsatisfactory and unhealthy living conditions, then we must change the nature. This is my thought. We must change the nature of the power relationship between ourselves and others. Once again, my judgment is that this all gets back to this is a power struggle. That's what it's all about. First, we have to change what we are doing. And I know that sounds simple, but we have to change our behavior and our thinking. When we change our behavior, then the oppressive European structure of domination and control will have no other choice but to change what he or it is doing specifically in relation to us. Can you imagine what would happen if there was a decision made in our community that we were no longer going to make a purchase of, let's say, a certain type of fast food, or that none of the sisters were any longer going to go to the Asian nail salons to get their manicures and pedicures? Can you imagine what would happen, that we would turn around these multi-billion dollar industries literally simply because we had changed what we were doing? So what I'm saying is that we can't continue to repeat and duplicate the same economic system that has enslaved us, or to pattern ourselves after European values and customs. I mean, those are two things that are very obvious to me. The economic system has to change, and we have to step away from European values and customs. The economy is the seat of power. That's all there is to it. It is. And it's the seat of power that is the key to us being able to take care of ourselves and design a prominent future for our offspring. We have to always be thinking about several generations ahead. Now, the religion that has been given to us by the Europeans has taught us that power is evil. Yet all people fight to hold on to power. What I am suggesting, I suggest that it's not power that is evil, but rather how power is used that might manifest into evil. Additionally, we have been taught to be subservient and to be content with meager resources that are only designed to meet really less than basic human needs. And we've accepted that for so long that it's become normalized. And some of us don't even realize that it's inappropriate that we live on a planet that has everything that we need. And so there's absolutely no reason for any of us to be in a state of need. Now, the second part of the solution is pooling our wealth and using that wealth to create the changes that we want. Politicians are bought, and they act according to the financial deals that they enter into with constituents who have money. That's how they respond to their constituents. If we're able to play the political game, then we must be prepared to buy politicians if that's the game that we're going to play. Preparation for work, you know, this whole thing about getting the education so that you can get a job. So preparation for work is remedied by having our young people attend schools that where we control the curriculum and where they are nurtured. Once again, as I said before, they have to be nurtured by a teaching staff that has a stake in their success, not a stake in putting them in a prison cell. So this means, bottom line for me, this means that we have to expose our children to an African-centered educational environment. And so African-centered education is not just merely teaching of African culture and beliefs, but ultimately this is a reorganization and rebirthing of African thinking and personality and tastes and interests such that Africans become self-supporting and self-sufficient, thereby we become powerful people. So what we're talking about is rebuilding our culture. And we're the only ones that are going to do it because we are the ones who see our culture as being valuable. Other people are not going to value our culture if we don't value it. We have to learn to embrace power and not shy away from it or mistake it for brutality. And to further illustrate what I'm saying, I'm just going to a quote from Professor Amos Wilson, you know, one of our great thinkers in the African-centered community. He tells us that we must develop a theory of education that's based on the African experience and culture intended to meet our needs. Our children go to school oppressed. There is nothing in the current European school system that teaches them how to develop revolutionary thought so they can free themselves from oppression and deal with the oppressor. Our children must be educated to be revolutionaries, is the bottom line. And if they're not being educated in that manner, then they're not receiving a beneficial education. To add more to that, I would say, you know, Europeans remain in power because they successfully disenable the abilities of African people. So our gaining of power will not be accomplished by joining with them or merging with them, but rather by freeing ourselves through becoming totally responsible for ourselves, period. There is no such thing as a joint or a shared effort among racial groups that is focused on you as a person of Black African descent to have you obtain economic power and stability for your community. That just doesn't exist. It's a smokescreen. Europeans, Asians, Arabs, Jews, so on, will not help you to gain or to have what they have. So, you know, that's how I see what needs to happen for us to start stepping into actually bringing about change. And so I'm going to stop here at this point, Brother Thurman, to see if you have a comment or if anyone else in our listening audience might have a comment.
I just want to go ahead and take a break, and we will be right back in a minute, family. Family, and Sister Nanana, you have given us lots of food for thought and direction in identifying things to change, and wanted to ask you a question, but we do have a caller. Let's check in with the person on the line. And the last four numbers are 8324. 8324, please give us your name and number. Tell us where you're calling from.
Peace. This is Sister Q. I'm calling from Florida.
Welcome, Sister Q. Always happy to have you and to hear from you.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank Sister Nanana for the reminders that she's giving us. We hear, you know, Amos Wilson's information. Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, they've been telling us this for so many years, and we sometimes get waylaid by political things. As Sister Nanana said, it doesn't matter who's in the White House. I think a lot of us stepped off when Barack Obama was elected because we thought we had arrived, and we did hear some people saying that. So I'm glad that Sister Nanana is reminding us of the political situation we're in, and that it is we have to keep our children. We have to be in charge of their education. We, those of us who don't have children in school, don't know what's going on in the schools unless we get it from the news or someone that's in school. And some of the things that the children are being taught in school now without the consent of their parents is really beyond belief in many instances. So I think that education is very key. And I know we say Saturday school and after school programs, but I think even though we don't get it done initially, our thing must be total education of our children. And the multi-level, multi-generational households can help with that, but because then we don't have to put them in school. We can homeschool them. We have enough people in the house that someone is in the house all the time. The children don't have to be subjected to that. So there are just ways we can do these things, but I think it's important that we keep that in mind along with the economic piece. And as Sister Nanana said, we got to be able to buy politicians if we're going to be part of the political system, because that's how politics is done. It, you know, we think that voting matters, They don't even count your votes. They count money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have to be aware of these things and operate from that position. If we want to, you know, play around in the system, we have to be aware of all of these things. That's what I want. And thank you so much for, as I said, the reminder, and you're bringing forth very, very crucial information, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Q. And yeah, we can't emphasize enough that we have to start viewing what's going on around us differently, and we have to realize that we have been led astray purposely. Yeah, we have been made to believe that our vote really does mean it something, and of course, so many of those who have, you know, walked this path before us have fought so rigorously for us to have voting rights. And so that's a real bone of contention for many of us in our community. And where I'm coming from is that I in no way disrespect those individuals. I in no way want to dishonor or take away from the progress that they made. However, I also see that it was a step on the journey. It was not the destination. That was not the destination point. It was just a step on the journey, and that we have to move further and we have to look beyond that. And you're exactly right, Sister Q. If we're going to play in that sandbox, then we have to be prepared and have the right implements to play in that political arena, if in fact that is what we are choosing to do. One of the best examples of us being led astray currently that I can think of is with the candidate that's running, Andrew Yang. His popularity is growing day by day in our community, and for some reason there are those of us who think that somehow Andrew Yang being in the White House is going to make a significant difference for us. We haven't learned the lesson yet. And so it just continues. And it will continue until we put a stop to it and we start acting differently. Then we can start making progress, in different ways. So what I see in terms of what a real and a concrete solution looks like, a solution that would truly be a vehicle for creating change and that will position us where we need to go, what I see is that we need a process or a tool that cuts across all barriers to unite us in economic solidarity and economic stability. And that's where ULU comes in. That tool is Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. ULU has developed the precise and the exact method for pooling our resources, for developing businesses, for creating jobs and economic stability in our community on a global level, and to pass that on generationally. So we have the change maker. We have the change piece here already in place. We simply need to embrace it and to move forward with it. Making a decision to become an ULU member is a decision to take control. That's what it is. It is a decision to take control, because nobody's going to give it to you. to take control of the economics of our community and to take part in putting an end to us being dependent on others. Us Lifting Us, Economic Development Cooperative, LLC, has established the precise method for actually creating our own economy. And for many of us, that is so difficult for us to visualize that we can have our own sub-economy that operates in a manner that is totally beneficial and specific for us. This is done by pooling our money and then using our collective financial resources to open businesses that create jobs for our communities and that offer goods and services that are specific to meet the needs of our communities. And this can be done on a global basis. There are those who take issue with the fact that the ULU plan is specific for people of Black African descent. Again, that is a change piece that I see. We have to change our perspective to the extent that we are totally willing to put our needs first and not try to encompass the needs of all other people. The ULU process enables us to stop trying to change a system that is designed to keep us in poverty and to put our energy and resources into a system that is specifically designed to empower our people. We can change what we are doing when and if we become active in ULU. This is a cooperative economic model. It is the vehicle for creating economic change. Now, you can become an ULU member and then move on to be an owner in ULU. You can go to, or an investor is another word that can be used. Go on to the website, www.usliftingus.com, and go to the tab that says join and just follow the instructions from there. If you desire to have more information, you can call the main number, 404-592-2780, 404-592-2780. It is a voicemail system, and your call will be returned by one of the ULU board members to answer your questions. We want you, we need you in ULU. ULU is modeled after successful global cooperatives, and ULU has gained membership all over the globe. We have members in Haiti, in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, in South America. We have members all over because our intent and what we will have is global businesses all around the globe. Any place where an ULU member is located, that then becomes a potential place for opening an ULU business. So this is the ultimate. This is the prime example of what we must do, the action we must take in order to create change. And you can do that when you join and become a part of ULU, because what you're stepping up and saying, what you're stepping up and doing is that you are saying, I dare to win, and I will win. So I'm encouraging everyone to take part in ULU. And Brother Thurman, do you have any comments that you would like to make about the topic that we've been covering this evening?
Well, in the last
hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely. You faded out there for a minute. I think we are having a little technical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is this better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, well, you've brought forth a lot that we must deal with, and the topic is broad, you know, that we could talk about it for quite a while in terms of mapping out all of the things. And so you didn't developing a process, and among the things when you mentioned that some of us would have a problem with us lifting us being exclusively for Black African people only, we've got to develop a process to help re-educate our people in all subject areas, and that is a process, because the subject of liberation requires courage, and a lot of the socialization or the miseducation of our people have got them to where it's uncomfortable to change. And it's like a brother wrote that if you've got to be loyal and devoted to our liberation. But he also went on to say, if you really want to be comfortable in terms of the way that you've been socialized, miseducated, try not to learn anything new. And so a lot of our people are comfortable in the oppression. And so if you start talking about liberating thoughts in all of their activity, including their diet, a lot of them would say they would act it out. I'd rather be comfortable just the way I am. And just as an example, with all of this increases of diabetes and kidney dialysis and high blood pressure, it's a strong reflection on the fact that our people have been programmed to be comfortable with just the way they have been, and they get sick. They're successful in being sick. And then if we look at our sisters and brothers around the world that have taken a totally different approach and gotten back to nature, they're not experiencing that same level of sickness.
Well, and you make a very good point, Brother Thurman, in that, you know, our subject this evening is around change. Excuse me, and change, in order to deal with change, you have to be willing to deal with a certain level of discomfort.
Yes.
Yes, you cannot change something and be comfortable. You are going to be uneasy, uncomfortable, because it's going to be different from what you have had in the past. And so change and discomfort go hand in hand. What I would suggest, once again, we have to change our thinking to go along with that and to understand that discomfort is not negative. Discomfort is not a bad thing. It simply means that something is happening differently than what I am used to. But for some reason, sometimes there's a tendency that when it's uncomfortable that we automatically put it in the negative category, and it could be something that is very good, and oftentimes it is when you're enacting change. So I would just say we just have to learn how to be okay with a certain level of discomfort, because that has to happen in order for us to progress. Yeah, progress never feels comfortable, usually, not at all. And so, once again, the major change agent that I see that is accessible to all of us, and that is definitely workable and successful, that is the Ujamaa Family Economic Plan that ULU puts forth, that we know for sure that it does work, and that we can build a future on that. We can have our own economy. We don't have to be dependent on the economy, the capitalistic economy that is continually presented to us. We can have a cooperative economy where everyone plays an equal role, where everyone has a vote. And that is going to nurture our communities going forward, and that will provide a legacy for future generations.
Okay.
All right. thank you for the opportunity to be on the show this evening. Thank you, Brother Thurman, for hosting and helping to guide the topic. I truly appreciate it. Appreciate having you as the host this evening.
Yes, Sister Nanana, I appreciate you being here. And family members, we will be back on the air next Thursday, every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you've got our information, www.usliftinguss.com. And the telephone number at our home office is 404-592-2780. Stay with us, and if you're not, stay in the mix. And if you're not already a member, please go to the website, usliftinguss.com, and you can make contact with us through the website also, and you can also apply for membership. We will be back here next week. Please join us. We've got to participate in our liberation.